Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, bringing you the stories of incredible women who are happy to share their knowledge with you. My guests will let you in on their amazing experiences, hopefully to help you learn and grow along the way. When I think about my own career and even my life, I've been really fortunate to meet some of the most interesting women. My special guest today is no exception. She really stands out not only for her creativity and innovation, but also because she excels in an area mostly dominated by men. You may not realize this, but only a small percentage of women are creative directors in advertising agencies. And with so many creative women, I find that they're surrounding me all the time, you would think that these numbers would be higher. It just so happens that my guest, Libby Delena, is a big supporter of women in creative positions. She's the co-founder of Mechanica, which is a marketing advertising firm. And Libby is a graphic designer by trade who honed her skills at the Boston Architecture Center and at the Harvard School of Design. She's just as likely to be seen crafting brand ID for a B2B technology client as she is speccing the perfect vegetarian lunch truck for a pro bono client's launch event. Libby is also mom to two boys, wife of a furniture builder. She's a rower, a kombucha brewer, and an impatient knitter. Libby, it is such a pleasure to welcome you to my show, Women Worldwide. How are you today?
Hi, Deirdre. Thank you so much. I must admit that intro, it sounds much more glamorous than I think my story is, but thank you for that intro.
Well, I think your story is very glamorous, and I would love to start off talking about your journey, because you took your graphic design to a whole new level, co-founding Mechanica, which is a really cool kind of next-generation branding firm. Tell us a little bit about your story and where you got to where you are today.
Sure. So my career was, in fact, a creative path. It was not a direct line. I did not wake up when I was 7 years old and say, oh, gosh, I'd really like to be a creative director or even a graphic designer. I did know, though, when I was younger that I really, really enjoyed looking at magazines and books and book covers. My mom is a wonderful English teacher for 40 years. Our house was filled with books. I used to, believe it or not, I really enjoyed looking at book plates and typography. And that was a little unusual, I think, at age 12 or 13. But I look back and I remember that being something that always really caught my eye. I then went on to an all-women's college, wonderful Mount Holyoke College in South Hadley, Mass., surrounded by really thoughtful women. And, you know, the thing that was interesting about those classrooms, which was different from my high school, was it was predominantly, not exclusively, but predominantly women's voices in those rooms. So I got very used to having strong female perspective as part of everything that I did. I studied philosophy, so I did not go to art school. I then graduated, and because, as you mentioned earlier, I was a rower while I was at Mount Holyoke, and believe it or not, despite the fact that I'm 6'2", I was rowing in lightweight, which is inconsequential other than we were constantly thinking about food. So upon graduating from Mount Holyoke, one of my rowing buddies and I then went to the New School for Social Research, a year-long culinary program. So that, I always say that cooking school was, in fact, my art school. So as I mentioned, it's just been an entirely creative path. Upon leaving cooking school, went out to San Francisco and cooked out there and quickly realized that the kitchens in the late 80s were not particularly female friendly and certainly not family friendly. And so my good buddy and I decided to move on and move into different chapters in our life, and which is the point at which I came back to Boston. Took classes, we mentioned Boston Architecture Center, Harvard Graduate School of Design, also at the Haystack School of Craft with Milton Glaser, who really honestly changed my life. And then decided really on a whim that I would apply to be a graphic designer at an agency here in Boston, a just spectacular agency still to this day, Mullen Advertising, where I think really just dumb luck and quite a bit of determination, I was allowed to join them as a junior art director. And that was the early 90s. I then stayed at Mullen for 14 years, leaving there as the director of design. And I really had no business being the director of design when I left, other than to say that having had a very strong mom and a feminist dad and growing up in a college surrounded by women, I guess I just wasn't really too afraid of putting my voice into the room when I was at Mullen. And as you noted, most of advertising is male dominated, and it was, and it still is.
Yes.
So that, yeah, we'll talk more about that. But that's my convoluted and wildly creative path to Mechanica today.
Well, that is a really creative journey, and sometimes the best journeys are not planned. So I love that you were studying philosophy, and then along the way it went to the graphic design. One thing that I noticed when I was reading about Mechanica, you had said that it was created to solve, you know, not only solve problems, but to create opportunities for what you call restless marketers. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Those are carefully chosen words. You know, the thing about marketing today is it is chaotic. It is wild. We wake up in the morning and, you know, read all the articles and, oh my gosh, I feel like I need to be able to walk into clients and customers' office spaces and let them know how to use Snapchat. Well, it's Snapchat today, it's something else tomorrow. And so the word restless marketers is really to acknowledge the marketplace currently. It's hard for CMOs. You by nature need to be restless and constantly searching and understanding where your customer really lives, and that's an ongoing process. That's what we mean by
restless. It sure is, and you're so right. Yeah. Everything is changing. These folks are definitely relying on you, Libby, and your team for your creativity and your innovation, which something tells me it might happen by, you know, in different ways. But where are you drawing your creative inspiration so that you can walk into these meetings or you can meet with your clients and do all of the branding and the creativity that you do in a day?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And honestly, the answer is probably different every day. But there's sort of, if I really think of sort of the general picture, there's probably two areas, and they're sort of wildly different. And one is a little non-traditional, but I find tons of creativity and places to identify innovation around the issue of vulnerability. That may sound very non-traditional, but, and who knows, maybe it is my all-women's college experience that by, you know, letting our walls down and having really authentic, vulnerable conversations with people, it's almost disarming. And there's tons of wonderful storytelling and creativity that comes out of letting our guard down. And one of my favorite books is The Wabi Sabi of Design for Designers. And what the Wabi Sabi is really all about is this Japanese aesthetic of imperfection, that, you know, we're constantly striving for perfection and everything being in its place. Well, there's something wildly beautiful, vulnerable, authentic when we let our guards down. And then as a daily practice, I, for the last 3 years, I've been documenting a morning walk. I get up at the crack of dawn and no matter what the weather, thank goodness for good gear, I go out and I walk anywhere between probably around 6 to 10 miles a day. And it takes anywhere between an hour and 2 hours. And I get up at the crack of dawn, sometimes headlamps on, and I walk. And I sometimes walk in the very same path. And what's really so beautiful about that is touches a little bit back on the sort of authenticity of, if you walk by the same barn absolutely every single day, it's amazing how the subtle light shifts, how the frost in the morning really changes from full-on frost to snow. And so I've just been taking these walks every morning, and I turned it into sort of a creative practice of noticing sort of small changes and things, and decided early when Instagram came out to record that every single morning. And so I use the hashtag morning walk and just head out no matter what. The other day, I must admit, though, I pulled my phone out of my pocket and the phone got all rained on, and that was not a good process. those are the two areas, sort of the acceptance and invitation of vulnerability, and then as I said, a daily kind of creative practice is these morning walks.
Well, I think this whole notion of vulnerability and letting your walls down is so important. It also draws people closer to you, and with that closeness,
that's right,
you can even have more creativity. And I love the imperfection, because I'm finding that especially with the younger generation, it is so important to know that you don't have to be perfect, and that we're all different. And actually,
right,
we're going to achieve different things in different ways. And your morning walk, so just so you know, I am absolutely following you and loving Instagram. Some of your pictures are so beautiful. So not only are you feeling inspired, you're also inspiring myself, and I'm sure anybody else who's looking at these gorgeous images. And I do find that even today, I wake up in the morning, and I don't go on a morning walk, but I make sure that as I'm drinking my coffee, it's like a little ritual. I have all these coffee table books, and I usually get books when I travel to different countries, and the pictures are just so gorgeous that I find myself looking through these books and getting lost in an artist's work, from whether it's Peru or somebody from the Netherlands, and I love that. So a lot of creativity through visual. It's really
excellent. Absolutely. And, I do call it a daily practice. And, we've been fortunate to work with this really extraordinary organization called Kripalu out in the western part of the Berkshires. It's a yoga retreat. And certainly the conversation around yoga is this notion of a practice. And it is simply that, and back to the sort of link of imperfection. There is no day I go out and my walk is perfect. And what is that anyway? So it really is that notion of practicing. And to be perfectly honest, this morning was awful. It was pouring rain and freezing cold. But that, again, there's such great lessons in there. And my beautiful barn that I go by every morning looked completely different. And it just so happened, as I walked by this morning, this little ray of light hit the top of the barn. And, so you can start out thinking, what the heck am I doing? I can't believe I'm stepping out in this rain. And all of a sudden, it really turns into a really inspiring moment. So I can appreciate your practice.
Pouring rain and inspiration. It's all good. I'm talking with my special guest, Libby Delena, co-founder of Mechanica, a next-generation branding firm. In the next segment, Libby will share her thoughts on empowering women and how you can reach and exceed your own expectations.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Libby, Delana, and I were just chatting about women excelling in their creative careers and different ways to find inspiration and creativity. Libby, when I first heard about you, it was in connection to a conference, the 3% conference, and I know you're a big supporter. Tell us a little bit about that conference and how it got started.
Sure. As you noted, Deirdre, in the upfront, the industry in which I work, advertising in particular, of the creative directors, 3% are women. The beautiful part of this story is today in 2014, that number actually has gone up to 11%. So I went to the conference this year, and the new number is really profoundly great because what it says is this this conference, which has started a number of years ago, has really, as one tentpole, really elevated the conversation. But the 3% conference is all about really championing creative female talent and leadership. You know, the idea is let's at least have the conversation that the ratio needs to be changed. And it was started by this super talented woman, Kat Gordon, who's a copywriter, also a creative director. And she saw firsthand, she was in an agency, and she, like me, saw firsthand how women were really left out of big pitches. I have to say, I didn't experience it that often, but she and her situation did. And often women were left out of really important meetings. And quite honestly, she, I think, just sort of had enough of it and really, really understood the fact that there are really only three consumer categories where men dominate the purchases. Everything else, all the decisions are made by women. And yet agencies still talk about women's accounts as being, you know, mop, makeup, hair and beauty products. And often what happens in the agencies is women get assigned to, quote unquote, women's accounts. Well, when you do the research and you realize, really, there are only three distinct kinds of accounts where men dominate that purchase, it just doesn't make sense that women aren't in the room or the voices being equally heard when we're talking about creating tools and persuasion and information to engage women. It just was, you know, it just doesn't sort of make sense. And, you know, the byproduct for organizations and companies is that advertising business really is misunderstanding the female consumer. And that's lunacy. That's a really big business risk. And so
no, companies can't afford to miss the mark on that.
No, that's right.
There's
and
no
so
way.
Much of it, no, so much of it is so subtle. So, for example, you know, imagine a copywriter writing about a certain topic when the target audience or the customer is predominantly middle-aged women. It seems to make sense that at least a woman's voice doesn't have to be the copywriter, but should be in the room to say, hey, you know what, you guys, this just doesn't really resonate. This isn't how middle-aged women speak, or the way you've styled the woman in that ad, as far as art direction goes, isn't really going to resonate. So the 3% conference really is to teach men and women. It is not a women's exclusive event.
If men come to the conference as well, and what's their participation?
They sure do, and really it's terrific. In fact, my former creative director from Mullen, a fellow named Edward Boches, is one of the many wonderfully involved men in this conversation. And it's important to have collaboration and agreement that having a woman's voice in the room is an important concept. So yes, it's really intended to simply make sure this conversation is happening in the culture. So it's not a point a finger at anybody. It's just let's be aware that there are probably too few women in these roles, and it might make sense to think about that and have that conversation. So It's a great
organization. I like the shared responsibility, definitely, because, you know, it has to work for everybody to understand and to move forward. And I'm just wondering if you're not able to attend conferences like a 3% conference, and you're a woman and you're not getting to go to the table for the creative pitch, what can you do?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think it does, at this stage and where we are, meaning there's still very few women, is find an ally, find a mentor, find someone you can link arms with. And, honestly, my mom used to say about, she actually taught at a school for high school for young women, and her perspective always was, just make sure you hear your voice in the room. So you've heard me use that phrase throughout here.
Yeah, it's great.
From my mom. And it really is simply, you know, make sure you're invited to the table. And then when at the table, put your voice in the room. And
right.
The room is elevated by that, simply because having diverse views in a room is a wonderful way to have a conversation. And again, thanks in great part to the 3% conference, but at least the spotlight being shined on the subject, I think agencies, men and women, as a community, are really mindful to the fact that having a lot of different perspectives in the room just elevates the creative all around. So I think it's find a mentor, link arms, and then take the responsibility also yourself to make sure you put your voice in the room.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. And I also wonder, you know, about workplace issues that pose a challenge for women. Do you find that there's any workplace issues that are the most challenging? And, you know, what would your advice be there?
Yeah, no, that's a terrific question. So we currently are working with a great organization around the issue of what used to be called workplace flexibility. And that was a subject that was certainly has been hot for the last, let's even call it a decade. And what's really been unearthed over the course of these last 10 years or so is that workplace flexibility is really in a very, very important way for not only women, also men, but ways for employees and employers to essentially create a really dynamic and engaged workforce. And the thing about workplace flexibility is that it does address some very unique women's issues, but also if you are able to find an organization that that really enables that kind of thinking and that very sort of innovative way of working, which enables, you know, flexibility. And I do think there are some touch points that really tap into some very unique issues that often young women, and again, young men, come up against.
Yeah, I definitely think that it does come down to those touch points and being in the right environment. And it is a part of culture. And you do see more companies trying to move toward this. At least I'm recognizing that. One question that I've just been really wanting to ask is, are there any women who you admire or you've looked up to in your career, special women in your life?
Yeah. You've heard me mention my mom again. My mom was always worked as we were growing up. So, you know, the ability to have someone to look to really understand how that combination of work and parenting really could happen was incredibly, incredibly powerful. So just in terms of thinking about women when it comes to work, I had just an incredible role model. And it's interesting, I perhaps have a little bit of a controversial perspective on can women have it all. And I believe the answer is yes, but I would just define it differently. When we say have it all, I just think that's a very simple sort of way. Let's see, how to articulate this clearly, that to have it all doesn't mean the ability to be necessarily a high-powered executive and a high-powered mom. I mean, having it all means having the opportunity to choose to do both or do those how you see fit. I don't believe there's this sort of ethereal line that appears someplace, and as soon as you get over that line, you have it all. I think the ability to choose whether we combine parenting and work is in fact having it all. How we execute it against that is obviously very personal. The other person, quite honestly, that really influenced me, and this is sort of maybe a non-traditional person, but when I was younger, I read a really influential book in my life, which is called West with the Night. It's written by a woman named Beryl Markham, who was a female pilot in Africa about the time of Isaac Dinesen. And that book really sort of exemplified this sort of notion of bravery and independence and freedom. And I really never forget reading that and thinking, oh my gosh, those are values and traits that I really admire. And then I guess lastly, I'm often, when I'm out on photo shoots, as I said, I'm 6 feet, tall, I have gray hair. I'm often asked if I'm Annie Leibovitz, and I just sort of joke with my friends lately. I just joke with my friends lately that when people ask me that, I've lately just started saying yes. Why not?
Oh, that's so funny.
So she's really influenced me simply because I'm confused with her all the time. So, anyway, she's influenced me.
Well, I can see why. Going back to what you said about bravery, independence, freedom, that just about sums up women.
Yeah, that's
women.
Right.
Definitely. What parting advice can you give to our listeners about exceeding their own expectations and making their creative dreams come true?
Yeah. Well, I would say go for a walk.
Yes.
If you and I were both to give advice, it'd probably be, you know, find a wonderful practice, a place where, you know, honestly, it's a little micro gesture, but through that daily practice, there's, you know, sort of continual grounding and learning in that practice. This is tried and true territory, what I'm about to say next, but it really is true, which is trust your gut. I never forget being in meetings as a young designer and really feeling strongly about something and, you know, momentarily being concerned about putting that thought in the room and then just feeling like, well, gosh, if I don't put it in the room, that thought in the room, nobody else is, and I do think it's important. And whether anybody picks up and moves forward with it is almost irrelevant. But trust your gut, and then I've just sort of mentioned put your voice in the room because it's important to have that perspective in any conversation and any meeting. So I guess it's go for a walk, trust your gut, and put your voice in the room.
All great advice, Libby. Tell us, where can listeners find out more about you?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so Mechanica can be found at mechanicausa.com. My morning walks are chronicled on Instagram, and my handle is Park Here. My middle name is Park, so that's where that came from, as in park your car, so Park Here. And, you know, of course, on Twitter and Facebook with Mechanica as well. So thank you for asking.
Terrific. So, Libby, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your experiences. You'll have to keep us posted on the 3% conference and the numbers as they continue to grow.
I sure
and
will.
Also like,
thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'd like to thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, and until we meet again for our next episode, Stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.